share with you some thoughts. If I am to title the lesson, then I would give it the title, As We Seek Wealth. As We Seek Wealth. And what spurred this discussion when Brother Mitchell asked if I wanted to share something this evening, I had the opportunity to participate in camp this year. All right, we had virtual camp, and I was on a panel, and as I said to them as I made the presentation, I don't know why they gave me the topic or the subject that they gave me. All right, you know, different persons were speaking on, you know, the importance of education, the importance of good health. You know, persons were talking about being good husband, being good wife and mother. And then of all the topics that they chose to give Fabian Webb, you know, is how to deal with wealth and financing. And, you know, but we shared some thoughts then, and I thought I could share some of this with the congregation, because it would do us well. And the idea of wealth is represented in Scripture and in the Greek by the word euporia, and it means to be well provided for. And the concept is that it is to prosper. All right, I made the joke then, and I'll repeat it. Then when I was doing it virtually, I wasn't able to see anybody, so I didn't know if the joke tick or anything. It was like a joke to me, you know. Euporia, all right, that's a Greek word. But when you try, when like the Strong Vines Dictionary seek to help you with the pronunciation, I found it very humorous that it's that euporia, it really sounds like euporia, you know, and then I said to them, oh, now I understand why you gave me the topic, you know, because, you know, euporia, so now, you know, I can explain to you that, well, that was a joke, and, you know. But the idea, though, is that wealth means that, you know, you are well provided for. There's some amount of prosperity in the making. And we, as we seek wealth and as we seek to have good finances, it is important that we recognize that wealth is a relative term. Yes? And so we have to be, first of all, be very careful that in our pursuit of wealth, that we don't get lost. In the pursuit of wealth, we don't get confused, because what I call wealth, that's another man's poorness. You know, and what do we use to measure wealth? And one of the things that is going to come out of this lesson is that wealth really gives us an opportunity, and it's how we utilize it that makes it worthwhile. Now, the concept of wealth, as I said, it's relative, because a person who may consider themselves to be wealthy because they have, they own a car, but to another person, that they own even three cars and so forth. If they don't own a jet, they don't consider that they are wealthy. And so it is relative. All right? But the question is, why is it that we want financing? Or why is it that we want wealth? And usually it is that we want to be able to do the things that we like, that we want to do. And sometimes it gives us comfort, and nothing is wrong with that. But a lot of times in our pursuit of finance and in pursuit of wealth, we may find ourselves in a situation where we get so caught up in making the wealth that we do not get to get the enjoyment that the riches and the wealth and the money gives. And so we need to be very careful, all right, because it might be that we want peace. But the peace that we yearn for may very well be there without the wealth. And sometimes we get the wealth and we have to spend all the wealth to get a sense of comfort. Sometimes we want the wealth so that we can take care of our health. But in pursuing the wealth, we destroy the health. And then we have to come back and spend all of that money to get a semblance of health. So we always have to be careful and recognize that wealth is a relative term. But let's look a little at the usage of wealth. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 25, we see some persons having a discussion. There was a situation, you know, that was presenting them, and they were a little concerned. And they made a statement that is worthwhile exploring. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 25, it says,
"Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation."
The workmen of like occupation, yes.
"And said, Sirs,
yes,
ye know that by this craft we have our wealth."
So here it is that the usage of the word euphoria, you know, to be well provided for, to prosper. The person says here, "By this craft we have our wealth." And so what we start seeing here is that wealth that brings us comfort and allows us to provide for what we want, it comes by a particular craft. And so it is by what we do. That's the idea behind wealth, that we ought to work for our wealth. And this is going to come up again later. We also see the concept of wealth, euphoria, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 29. And here again, even before we jump there, it's important. All right, in Acts chapter 19, when the person said that by this craft we have our wealth, one of the things we see here is that having wealth is not an issue. All right, and I want to emphasize this. Having wealth is not an issue, because sometimes we may give the impression that something is wrong with having riches. There's nothing wrong. What is important is how we go about getting our wealth. And herein lies the essence of what we want to get out of this lesson. That while we pursue getting money, riches, finances and wealth, it is very important how. And we see in Acts 19 where the person was making a commentary and says, it is by this craft, it is by what we do that we have our wealth. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to be getting to some pick two, pick three, pick four. And I heard an advertisement recently, hot pick. And so we are going to explore, is it okay to gamble? Is the lotto okay? you know, can I get my wealth there and things are fine with God? You know, we want to explore that for a while. But what we are seeing is that the usage of the word euphoria brings the idea that wealth comes, but importantly, it comes by what we do. And the idea here is that it comes by work. Additionally, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 29, and this is very important, pay close attention. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, it says,
Then the disciples,
everyone according to his ability,
determined to send relief.
Okay, I want us to recognize here that the word ability is the same word translated here, euphoria. It is by, according to his ability, read.
Determined. To send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judah.
All right, so what it is saying here, it is by your ability, it is by your wealth that you are able to give to others. It is from our wealth, it is from our ability that we can give. And so, in our pursuit of finance, in our pursuit of wealth, we should always view wealth as my opportunity to help, my opportunity to give to others, my opportunity to be able to help in the needs of others. Because a lot of times in our quest for wealth and riches, we are just thinking about ourselves. And when we go there, we get lost. When we go there, we miss, because we then accumulate, and then to what end? What do we do with it? We should, as Christians, strive for finances so that we can help. In fact, you know, Jesus says that, you know, you won't have me all the time. But guess who you will always have with you? The poor. And so God provides an opportunity always for us to give to others. So we have seen the meaning of wealth, the usage, and we have seen that it puts us in a position to help. That's how always we should view wealth. In third John chapter 1 and verse 2, we get an insight again into wealth, prosperity, or financial prosperity, from the writer, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, where it says,
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper.
I want you to prosper. How do I want you to prosper? Read.
And be in health.
So I want you to prosper.
And be in
health. And I want you to be in health. So I want you to excel health-wise. I want you to be as fit as a fiddle, whatever that is. I want you to be in good health, yes.
Even as thy soul prospereth.
So I want you to be financially prosperous. I want you to have things. I want you to be prosperous in health.
Even thy soul prospereth.
As your soul prospers. And so what I want us to see from this is that we must have a balance. We must have a balance with our, and I'm going to put it in the right order. We must have a balance in our spiritual health. We must have a balance with our physical health. And we must have a balance with our financial health, our material health. All right? And so the writer of John here is saying, as your soul prospers, so I want you to prosper in health, and so I want you to prosper materially. It is important to recognize that financial prosperity is not the most important thing. I want to say that about two more times. Financial prosperity is not the most important thing. Financial prosperity is not the most important thing. Then listen to this now. Neither is it a bad thing. So while it is not the most important thing, because John here is saying, put the premium on your spiritual well-being. I want you to have health, well-being. But he's also saying, have financial well-being. And so let us not run in extremes where we say, well, because I'm a Christian and my most important thing is my soul, then it is a bad thing to want to have wealth. In fact, I want to encourage us, where it is honest and where we have abilities and capabilities, God expects us to use that ability to bring wealth. Because there's so much things the church can do when money comes in. If everybody in the church decides, then I'm going to take a posture of poorness, then there are many things that we will not be able to, we're so poor we can't even pay the light bill. We're so poor when the water bill comes, we can't pay it. We're so poor that we can't pay the preacher. When we have money, then there are things that we can do, or more things that we can do. So let's take this as a takeaway, that financial prosperity is not the most important thing, but neither is it a bad thing. All right, so that's another takeaway. Now, when we had looked at Acts chapter 19 and verse 25 earlier, when it says, by this craft we have our wealth, or, by this occupation, by what we do, we have our wealth, it shares a similar thought to that which we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, but verse 8 has some relevance as well, where the Apostle Paul was telling the audience to whom he was writing that to attain Christian wealth is not a bad thing, all right? But he says it in this way. All right, pick up at verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 3.
For even when we were with you, mm-hmm. this we commanded, mm-hmm. you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
All right, if any does not work, neither should he
eat.
All right, and so what I want to zero in on here, all right, and I'm putting this in the context of where we're going in terms of gambling and the lotto, is that God expects that we have our well-being by working. That's the natural order. God expects us to work. If you do not work, then you shouldn't eat. All right, and of course, that takes into consideration that you have the ability, that you are sick, It's not that something has happened to you that caused you for a period of time not to be able to work. All right? But the idea is that as Christians, the way God expects us to go about having our well-being provided for is that we work. Continue reading.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly.
Some walk among you disorderly, yes?
Working not at all.
So some persons work not at all.
But are busybodies.
But they are busybodies. Read on to verse 12.
Know them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ.
So those who do not work, we are exhorting you. Continue.
By our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work.
That with quietness they work. You see how much time the word work is coming out? This is how God expects the Christian to attain his wealth and to take care of his being, to take care of himself by working. Jump up to verse 8.
Neither did we eat any man's bread.
Neither did we eat any man's bread.
For naught but wrought with labor and travail. All
right, so they work.
Night and day.
Night and day they work.
That we might not be chargeable to any of you.
So what the writer here is saying, Paul is saying, is that he works so that he wouldn't have to rely on them in any way excessively. All right, and so what we want to see here is that the way we should take care of ourselves is by working. That is the natural order. So we need to work honestly. We need to work hard. All right, we need to, I dropped this in when I was speaking to the young people, that you must work and do something that you really like. You know, when you do something that you like, then it won't be so hard. You know, even when you work hard, you know, long hours and use a lot of brain power and so forth, that at the end of the day you're tired, it still brings a lot of satisfaction because you're doing something that you like. But bear in mind too that as we work, we still need to trust in the Lord. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 following tells us that, you know, trust in the Lord. You know, so while it's not like we're going to be saying, well, I'm doing this and it's all about my ability and what I do, we have to bear in mind that as we work, we must also put our trust in God. Are you there? Let's do a quick read of that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all thine heart.
With all
thine heart.
Thine heart.
And lean on not unto thine own understanding.
Don't lean on your own understanding. So sometimes we are going on a particular road, you know. Hey, we want well-being. And we're going down. But let's lean on the Lord. Don't just trust and rely on our own understanding of things. But in everything, let us acknowledge God. So let me, for the next few minutes, zero in now on the lotto. And on gambling.
What?
You see, when we look around us, you know, if you decide to watch the news, Supreme Ventures is going to feature. You know, they take prime spot. They are appealing to us to gamble. And, you know, you'll hear, I don't know if they have pick one. I think the hot pick is pick one. You know, you can pick one number and win. Okay. You can pick two number and win more.
Okay.
Pick three, pick, I think they go up to pick five, probably I'll pick six. Mm-mm. You know? And, you know, and sometimes I'm there watching, you know, and they have the ladies, you know, calling the numbers, and, wow, and they sound so nice and so forth. You know, it's like they are attracting you, wow, to gamble, you know? Mm-hmm. And in times when time hard, you know, then it is really a strong appeal, mm-hmm, you know?
Yep.
How they put it? You don't have a ticket,
you
don't have a chance. Yep. All right? In the mornings when I'm going to work and I'm listening to the radio, you know, and they get to that point where they're advertising it, mm-hmm, you know? And they say, you know, you don't have a ticket, you don't have a chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And they tell you now, where? Yep. The lotto money reach.
Okay.
And you know, they say, oh, the lotto is now at $35 million.
A joke.
I say, whoa, $35 million is a lot of money. And then here they advertise it. Now they turn around and say, do you have $35 million in your bank account? and so you realize now that there's this appeal for us to gain wealth and to gain riches by buying the lotto. You know, I am probably of the view that nobody sitting here buys the lotto. Right, but I might be wrong. And that is why I want to talk about this. Because you might be buying it and you don't say, well, what's really wrong with buying lotto? Doesn't God want us to have wealth and riches? Why do I have to work for it? Why can't I trust in the Lord and buy Hot Pick? Right? And the advertisement I saw with Hot Pick last week or so. Right? And I said, and I looked at it and I said to myself, my word. It's almost like the government don't want to print coins anymore. Although I see they're reproducing the $1, all right? But what struck me about the advertisement is that they were appealing that you can use 10 cents. 10 cents, you know? 10 cents. 10 cents. And that can translate into how much? Nobody. I'm going to be alone and listen to the advertisement. $130. From 10 cents, you can win $130. All right, so if you multiply that, then I'm going to show up my maths now, or my lack of maths. So with $100, you could get like $1,300. All right. For $1,000, you could get $13,000. That's a big rate. But what they advertised was that you can go pick up a 10 cent, and that 10 cent can give you $130. At the heart of gambling, at the heart of buying the lotto, at the heart of taking up that 10 cents in the hope to get $130, is that at a minimum, you are hoping that 12 other persons who put their 10 cents is going to lose their 10 cents so that you can get $130. So at the heart of gambling is what we call, or the Bible calls, covetousness. It is greed. And the idea behind covetousness is where you want to have more. It's where you want to have what belongs to others. It is a greed of gain. To gain or to take advantage of. So you, without working, remember we spoke a lot about the fact that God expects us to get our wealth by working, by our craft, by our occupation. But the idea in us gambling, in us taking the lotto, taking our pick three, our pick one, our hot pick, our pick five, is that when I put my investment in without working, I want to get wealth by depending on others losing. I want to gain at the expense of the loss of others. And that is at the heart of the concept of covetousness. So a lot of persons, in pondering, in looking at how can I get that $45 million, will come and say, well, you know, I really don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says it is a sin to gamble. But the Bible speaks over and over about covetousness, about greed. Ephesians 5:5, Hebrews 13:5, 1 Timothy 3:3. In all these commentaries about covetousness, it is a negative thing. You want to read any of them? Which one you have? Ephesians 5:5.
For this ye know. That no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man.
All right, so he's a covetous here. Yes. So that is what you are demonstrating as a gambler. That's what you are demonstrating as a person who goes to the lotto booth. All right, and pick that number.
Nor the covetous man.
Yes.
Who is an idolater.
Idolater, right?
Had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ
and
of God.
So when you do these things, including gambling, including wanting to get gain from other person's loss, you don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So let us be very clear and sure that that is not how God wants us to get our wealth. That's not how God wants us to get our financing. That's not how God wants us to get our riches. That's not how God wants us to be prospered, how God expects us to be well provided for. Not by lotto. And I can just drop here, even though I won't get into that. It's not by scamming either. I'm going to wrap up. I just want to leave one other thought while we are here. As we seek wealth, God looks. You know, God, go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 following. All right. God looks at how we use our talents. Remember, we spoke about wealth and talent coming from the same word, euphoria. God looks at how we use. Somebody pull my phone. I'm really going to believe that I'm into this lotto thing, you know. If you're able to see my phone from here, then this is what I have on my phone. You probably can't see anything from here. But you know what they have with the lotto? Different numbers have different images. And they are luring again for persons to buy the thing. So depending on what you dream and who you buck up in, then go and buy that number. You know? So one is dopey. You know? Two is small fire. So if you go and dream about some small fire, then go buy number two. And then number five is what? Wait, who said that? I don't want to know who said that. I have to look on. Number five is Steve. All right. Right. Why are we called 1215? Well, Jesus was talking about the parable, the talents. All right, pick up at verse 14 of Matthew 25. We won't get to read all of it. You are there? Matthew chapter 25.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country,
mm-hmm.
who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave his talent, to another two, and to another one.
One person he gave
five talents.
He gave dopey. And to one he gave a small fire.
Two.
And five, and one he gave. What I thought people, Supreme Benjamin might come and give me some gratuity or something. All right, they are promoting things. But here it is that different talents were given to different persons. And God expected the persons to use their talents. Yes. But if we had time to read it, what we would recognize is that the person who had the one talent, he didn't do anything with it. The person who got the two talents, he invested it. He worked it. You see the work again? That's how God expects us to utilize our talents and our ability. And it will bring returns. So the person with the two talents, he worked it. And he got two more talents. The person who had the five talents, again, he invested and he brought forth twice as much. But here's the point. God looks at how we use our one, two, and fives. God looks at how we use our one, two, and fives to determine our zero, fours, and tens. And so, what is your ability? What is my ability? The way we use the abilities that God gives to us will determine how God gives us other abilities. It will determine the returns that God gives to us. Because a lot of times we are blessed financially. We are blessed with other talents and we do not use it for Christ's sake. And so, if it's one ability we have, let us use it for the cause of Christ. The person who got the one talent, and it's not because he got one, it's because he didn't do anything with the one. It brought naught. But the person who invested the two, who worked at it and brought returns, God gave him more. So let us recognize, this is a point, that God looks at how we use our talents, our wealth, our abilities to determine how much he gives to us. Can I tell you that anything we have here, that's not real wealth. But God looks at how we use what we have to determine if he can entrust us with true wealth, eternal life. You know, that's scripture, but I'm not going to even go to that, you know. But how we use what we have, whether it is little or it's a whole heap, God looks at how we treat with that. All I can do is read. That's my ability. Well, how do I use that for the cause of Christ? The only ability I have is to sweep. Can God use that? I think he can. And then some persons know they're glad to help with little bit. But when they have whole heap, the game plan change. So they are willing to come to Bible study and read and help the learning process. That's all their ability, they can read. All I can do is sweep. Some person will gladly come and sweep the yard, but God looks at that. But then when I have the ability to do big things, when my abilities are such that I can say, church, as of, where are we, August? As of September 1, in addition to what I give as my contribution, I'm not going to go into that. In addition to that, the church has a radio program. And every time Brother Mitchell is on it, and in 15 minutes, and Dave tells him, time up. He said, I am going to allow that $10,000 that has to be paid every time the program is aired. I'm going to match that so that every time the program is aired, it can be for half an hour. Or it can be aired two times or on two different stations because I have that ability. Or do I have, when I have the wherewithal to say, you know, we need to change this from just being a radio program to be a TV program. Or if we should get to a stage where we say, well, you know, we want to have a station and I will finance this. If we have that ability, then we should do so. All right, I'm ending. As we started, I want to end. Wealth provides an opportunity for us to be of help to the church. Wealth and the ability of financing puts us in a position to help and to serve. So let us yearn for it, but let us remember why. Let us always remember the church. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. And I hope that this lesson will be of encouragement to us, that there was some learning, not so much.